Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
What's happening, man?
Man, this has been
is it not?
An awesome message. And this is a message for this hour.
Yeah.
Because we really need to know, you know, to point it once for us to die.
Right.
And then we're going to stand before God. Don't we want to know now what we need to do and to enjoy His presence now and to be fully right with Him?
Yeah, we might want to let the audience in. Phil, if you haven't been watching our previous programs this week, I've been trying to explain about what it was like when God took me in this encounter with Him.
That's right. I just got caught up.
Yeah, right. With, you know, outside the throne room of God, outside these doors, because, you know, and I'm going to try to explain, continue to try to explain it today as I'm at the VFN Dream Center. But I know that, you know, we've been talking about and you've been hearing a lot about the double door blessing, the double doors, and everybody's thinking like, hey, this is like the bank's going to open up and this all this great stuff's going to happen, and it is, but nobody's talking about what I saw at the double doors, you know, what I saw at the doors. And Revelation 4 says, you know, He called me up to an I saw an open door in heaven, and that's where I was, just standing at that open door. And if you read Revelation chapter 4, He talks about, you know, that God's throne was surrounded by an emerald rainbow with lightning and thunder and four living creatures with all these wings and arms and 24 elders and their angels. Holy, holy. I mean, this is, you know, just awesomeness that's taking place, you know, before God. And people talk about God so commonly. It's like He's in the center of all creation. He's holding all things together. You're creating His image and His likeness. And He loves you so much that He sent His Son to be able to deal with the very thing that separated you from Him, which is sin. And so I'm talking about that. This part of it is, we're going to go back into the Dream Center, where I'm actually trying to explain and put into words, you know, the reality of sin, how sin separates us from God, and how important Jesus is. God's not surprised about sin. Only religious people are surprised about sin. God knew about sin before you were even born. As a matter of fact, Jesus was crucified before the foundations of the earth. God knew what would happen beginning and the end. He knew even after that. And so He made a way for us through His Son. And so I'm talking about that today, but realize what I'm talking is, I'm talking about as I'm standing there in this vision with the presence of God, you know, and I'm not in the throne room. I'm literally, the throne room is so full. There's no space in there. It's like, it's just full of God and all the things He talks about in it, you know, and it's like, and it's all God. So it's like, you know, if you want Jesus when you're coming in there, you know, if you don't have a right relationship with Jesus, and I'll talk about that right now as I'm about to share, because so many people, you know, talk about Jesus and they have this other Jesus. And Paul said, if anybody preaches to you another Jesus, and there's like all kinds of Jesuses people are talking about, there's only one true one. But people start forming their own Jesus based on their own struggles or their own desires or what they want. And it's like, Jesus never changed, you changed. And so you got to get back to the Word and find out who He is. And so I'm standing in this vision at the throne room of God outside the door, like Revelation chapter 4, and I am just overwhelmed by His presence. And I'm trying to explain it here at the VFN Dream Center. Just join me there.
And they say, the 24 elders say, they say, worthy, worthy. You have to understand, there's so many people saying, I deserve more, and I'm worthy of this, and I'm worthy of that. But when you understand who you are, I'm not talking about beating yourself up. I'm just talking about who He is and who you're not. He's in love with you. He's in love with us. But He's not in love with our sin. He's upset about the sin. He's angry about the sin because the sin separates us from God. So you have all these messages today that people are talking about, oh, there's grace for that, there's grace for that. It's like, yeah, right, you don't understand the holiness of God. There is grace, but there's not grace to walk in complete disobedience to God and have a hard heart towards Him and think everything's going to turn out all right. You could be actually casting out demons, prophesying, laying hands on the sick and then being healed, and end up in hell. That's what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7. So it's not about that. When you know Him, you're okay being with Him. He's always with you. You're always with Him. And you're okay with that. You don't have to only go to church and find Him. He was with you on the way home from church. He was with you all week long. You were talking to Him at your lunch break. You were talking to him at nighttime when you're going to sleep. You know, you're wondering historically if you read out, how could he be thinking about God at nighttime, praying all through the day, and waking up in the morning? It's like, once you know anybody, you talk to them all the time. You talk to them all the time. Look at Revelation chapter 5. So God always was. We exist in a finite amount of time. God exists outside of that, on both sides of that, and understand that's why he can know the beginning from the end. Now, he created us for fellowship to be with him. We fell in sin in the garden, and through Adam, we all sinned. But God had a remedy for that. Like there was a coal before Jesus to cleanse the sin, make atonement, not forgive, but make atonement for his sin. God made a way for that. Look at verse 1. Then I saw in the right hand of him who was seated on the throne, which is God, a scroll written on the back and the front, and it had seven seals. I like how Mike Bickle calls this the title deed to earth. How is this earth going to be redeemed? This is not God's plan. How it is right now is not God's plan. How men are just going into darkness and they're doing crazy things in his name and weird things and evil things. Well, that's because of the fall of man. So how can this thing be fixed? How in that scroll has the redemption procedure for redeeming the earth and the inhabitants of the earth, right? And so, and all of a sudden you're looking at the Father have this scroll in his hand. So when people say they know when the Lord's going to come back, they're saying, I know when the God, the Holy God, is going to pass that scroll to Jesus. But Jesus don't know when he's going to pass the scroll. Not even the Son of Man knows. Only the Father knows when that's going to happen. So when somebody starts telling you these things, they don't know God. They have no idea. They don't know the Holy God, the reality of who he is. And then he said, I saw a mighty angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who, everybody say who? Who is worthy to open the scrolls and to break the seals? In other words, who's able to redeem this evil situation? Who could redeem it? And look at verse 3. And no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth were able to open it. In other words, there was no hope. Even that person that told you that they were better than you, that preached some message that said, made you feel like God didn't love you and there wasn't a remedy, even they didn't. They weren't worthy. People in heaven, on earth, under the earth, in the sea, nowhere, there was nobody worthy. So you have to understand that there's nobody getting into the presence of God on their own works. You're not going to do it. There's nobody that can do that. You don't want to do that. You don't want to show up. You know, we're hearing, you know, Samuel Rodriguez talk. There ain't five ways, four ways, three ways, one way. There's only one way to Jesus Christ, to God. You have to understand. Let me give you another viewpoint of this. You don't want to show up with no other gods. You don't want to show up with your pride. You don't want to show up with your sin. You don't want to show up. I'm looking at this, I'm thinking, like, how many people are going to show up with their perception of who he is, not understanding he's holy and he's righteous? You know what I'm saying? Think about it. But forget about one way, five ways, four ways. Think about this. You don't want to show up. Let them know. I love you enough to tell you, you don't want to show up with that. You want to show up with the right thing. Then all of a sudden, John, the one that laid his head on Jesus' chest and was close to Jesus, he said, you know, he began to weep loudly because no one was found worthy to open the scroll in heaven. In other words, no one could do it. Not anyone could do it. And one of the elders said to John, weep no more. Think about that. Weep no more. You see, when you are in the presence of God and you don't know how or what God's going to be able to do with your sin, all you can do is weep. That's all you can do. If you think you're going to talk your way through that, it's not going to work. If you think you're going to throw your good deeds out there and that's going to get you in, it's not going to get you in. There's no one. He says, weep no more. Behold, the line of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has conquered so that he can open the scroll and its seven seals. The title deed, the earth, can be taken by Jesus. And so when I'm standing there at the doorway in heaven, in the awesome throne of God, I mean, literally, it's almost like the seraphim, and you're thinking, you don't want to go in there without Jesus. You're going, y'all seen Jesus? But if you wait till that moment, if you wait for that moment to make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, the only way to God, it's too late. It's too late. Don't think that you can stand before God with your life and even say you did good works. You can't make it. Jesus is not a good idea. Jesus is not your fishing buddy or your BFF. Jesus Christ, he's Lord. Understand what Lord, he is Lord. And everything God is doing, he's doing through his Son. So he don't want to see your face peeking around Jesus. He don't want to see you sneaking under Jesus. He wants to see Jesus when he sees you. He needs to see Jesus when he sees you. If he sees you and don't see Jesus, it's not going to be good. You want to be under the blood, not looking for the blood. You want to be under the blood. In other words, repentant for your sin. Jesus is the Lord of your life.
That's so important, you know. It's so many people talk about so many things, and there's so many religions on the face of the earth. There's so many variations of the original that you got to get back to God's original intent. His original intent was, for God so loved the world that he gave his Son who was with him in heaven. He sent his Son to represent him, to be the image of the invisible God, so that we would know him. He created all things through him. And this is so important. I'm trying to articulate here as you're watching, you know, as we continue this week, is about, you know, this encounter at the throne room of God, what it was like. And it's like, you want to know now this side of it.
And
right?
Jesus says of himself, I am the way, not a way. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one has access to the Father but through me. So although these folks come up with different variations, there is only one way to God.
And it's like, this, what, John 10?
John 10:7,
something like that?
John 10:7 says, so Jesus began and said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who come before me are thieves and robbers, but if the sheep did not listen to them, I am the door. And if anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. Then it says in verse 10, the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. And I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. He who has a hired hand and not a shepherd, he who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he's a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd.
That's so important, you know. I'm going to continue after this break, you know, sharing, trying to explain, and it's going to get even more details. You know, you get this whole thing. We just got it for a gift for you. It's just totally yours for free. You can go to vfnkb.com and click on special offers. It's just yours. We want to give you the whole thing in its entirety. You can share it with your friends as well. But I know this. I know specifically that, you know, many, many people, I mean, you know, Buddha ain't God, Muhammad ain't God, Confucius ain't God. I mean, right now when you're looking at China trying to remove every sign of Christianity from the nation, they're trying to remove the doorway to their Chinese citizens on this earth to have access to God. Why in the world would a leader of a king almost, Xi, President Xi of China, try to remove the name of Jesus from 1.3 billion people, because the devil is trying to hold that whole nation. He won't do it, but understand what they're trying to do is to remove the doorway to God, the access to God. You know, anything but Jesus, right? Mm. And it's like anything but the door. Any other way is a thief and a robber. So I want to encourage you. We're going to go right back to the VFN Dream Center, where I'm actually explaining this vision that God gave me about being at the throne room of God. Just like Revelation chapter 4, he says, I saw an open door in heaven, and he called me up to it, and he saw the throne room of God. Just so powerful. I'm using the best words I can to be able to explain this encounter and help us all to understand when we get there, and everybody's going to show up there, we want to be in right relationship with God through Jesus Christ. Let's go there now.
All I can think is like, man, how many people are going to show up here? with all their gods, all their ways. And believe me, nobody creates ways like I've seen in America. It's amazing, the things. How can a simple shepherd boy with sheep, with no electricity, with a small string instrument, tap into the heart of God like David did? Isn't it interesting that most people can't be silent anymore? Most people can't be silent anymore. It scares them. But one of the highest grossing documentaries now, Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood, you know what he said as a Presbyterian minister? He said, silence is where you get revelation. Silence is where you hear the voice of God. Why is the enemy keeping you, have noise around you all the time? So you can't hear the voice of God. Silence. That's one thing when I think about what God did during the Brownsville Revival was, I fell in love with silence. I fell in love with silence. I remember walking, I was an organizer during that time. I was had an office in a Methodist church, and my office was at the end of this long hall. And it's a Methodist church, so it was silent. And it was awesome. Christian music was noise. It was just noise. Turn it off. So shh. Everything was noise. Lay a bed at night, just like a log. You lay down, the glory of God, and you just quiet. The sweet silence in the presence of an awesome. The whole earth is filled with His glory. Why do young people fight the silence? Because they know when silence lands, they're in the presence of a holy God, and they become aware of themselves. Why do men and women fight the silence? I like what T.D. Jakes says. The reason why they give televisions to prisoners in jails to help them forget they're in prison. Right now, so many people are caught up in media, and they're distracted because the enemy does not want you to know that you're in prison. You're in an emotional prison. You're in a prison of sin. You're in a prison of lifestyle. You're locked down. But because you're looking at a silly screen, it's distracting you up until the time you stand before this holy God. He's appointed once to die and then the judgment. Read the book of Revelation. It's written to the church. Knowing their deeds, he said. Knowing their deeds, he said. Now, this whole gospel is like, you don't got to do none. You can't do none. It's like, well, you know, if you're alive, you breathe, right? If you're a flower, you produce pollen, right? And if you're a believer, you bear fruit. You're not perfect, but you bear fruit. I mean, there's something in your life when people want to be around you. It's not, you know, there's people's like, they say they're believers, like, it just hurts being around. I don't understand. How could you know Jesus and it just hurts being around you, right? It just hurts. You should want to be around. People should want to be around you. Does that make sense? But you have to make that choice. You have to make that choice that I want to live my life for God. And understand, I know that you think life is forever here on this earth, but it is fast. Eternity's forever. There is a, listen to this, there is a harvest coming to gather in this, I believe, the end time harvest, right before everybody's going to stand before the judgment seat of God. And now, wouldn't it be sad to answer for the fact that we did nothing during those days, but we were just focused on ourself and our sin, and we couldn't even, didn't he say, like, it'd be better for you to never have known at all? I know that just throws off a lot of doctrine, but it's written in Scripture. That's why they're actually saying, don't read the scriptures. Don't read the word. If you read the word, you're going to find out. So understand, he's righteous and he's holy. But and he loves you. But to embrace you, sin has to be removed from your life. That happens when you actually acknowledge, like Isaiah did, I am a sinful man. I have sinned. I have sin in my life. And I want to be forgiven. I want to be in right standing, righteous, right standing with the Father through Jesus Christ. What happens is when you make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, not an idea, not a concept, not somebody you talk about every now and then. I'm talking about the Lord of your life, and you make him the Lord of your life, and you ask him to forgive you. He forgives you, but it also puts you in right standing before God, which means you can stand in God's righteousness because of Jesus' righteousness. You're receiving his righteousness by faith. Not your own righteousness, but a righteousness received by faith. The only right thing you're going to have in your life, no matter what you do, is Jesus Christ in your life. But you should love him anyway because he's the one that keeps us from hell. He's the one that keeps us from the consequences of sin. I'm okay with being with him. I'm thankful for him. I don't want to show up without him. I don't want to be there without him. So he made a remedy. He wants to embrace you. He wants to pull you close. He wants to reveal himself to you. He wants to reveal his secrets to you. But you have to make the decision. What am I going to do with this holy God? Am I going to create in my mind somebody different? Or am I going to say, listen, sin is sin. I don't care what the world is saying. I have sinned. God, forgive me. Lord, I want you to be the Lord of my life. And I want to follow you, and I'm going to abide with you, and I want to be your disciple, because disciples are people that know your teachings and follow your teachings, and God told us to make disciples of all the nations. So I know that. And we're going to have this wonderful relationship, because God loves me, I love God, Jesus loves us, we're all together, everything's fine. But where are you with Jesus? Where are you with Jesus?
Where are you with Jesus? It's so important. Why would God even show me this encounter with him? Why would he set us up to have an international television program for this one moment where you're hearing what he said to me? And this is what he told us when he told me to do what we're doing. He said, whatever I whisper in your ear, shout it from the rooftops. And so he's revealed this to me, and I'm telling you what he said and what he showed me. He's holy. He loves you, but he's holy. Jesus is holy. But what God did, God sent his son here on earth to be able to live as we live, to experience what we've experienced, to be tempted as we're tempted. Yet he didn't do it. He did not sin when it happened to him. He didn't give in to it. He did that so that someone would have actually fulfilled the law. He fulfilled the law by walking a sinless life in obedience to the Father. Although he was a son, he learned obedience from what he suffered. He cried out to the one who could save him from death. And he did this because he loves you. And then of all the things, he was offered up for sin. He was turned over. He was betrayed. But God had set that up so that he could be a sin sacrifice. It's mentioned right there in Romans chapter 8. Literally, what we couldn't do, God did through his son to be able to be a sin sacrifice for us, to fully meet in us the righteous requirements of the law for those who receive him or have faith in him as make him the Lord of their life. I mean, it's God working out a plan with his son for you. And for me, and for John, and for all that are here in the studio, and those that are watching right now. Listen, don't worry. The enemy's telling you that you're not worthy to be saved. Nobody's worthy. Jesus is worthy. He knew that. Listen, the moment you make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, and we're going to continue this in our next program, so make sure you catch us. We're going to continue on. But understand this. At that moment, when you say, Jesus, I've sinned, I've fallen short, Lord, forgive me, I want you to be the Lord of my life, he literally forgives you and removes this huge burden off of you. You can't even explain it, but you're a new person. If that's you right now, just pray. We say, Dear Jesus, that's right, Dear Jesus, I want you to be the Lord of my life. Forgive me, Lord. Wash me, cleanse me, Lord, of my sin. I've sinned against you and I've sinned against others, God. Forgive me, restore me. I want to be yours, Lord, and I thank you now, Lord. You are mine, in Jesus' name. Isn't that awesome? Welcome to the family of God. Find out more details at meetmyfather.org. You got to meet him through his son, Jesus Christ. And we want to hear from you. Comment below. Write to us at friends@vfnkb.com. We got some wonderful things for you. I want to pray with you right now. Father God, we just pray for our audience. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that we're going to even continue in our next program talking about what you share with me about your throne room. But let them be encouraged and inspired, Lord, that it's so much more to this present life. There's eternity with you, Father God. I just speak salvation over those and hope over those that are listening, Father God. A correction, even in their doctrine, God, to line back up with your word, Father God. And we ask you, dear God, end abortion, send revival, send a third great awakening, we pray. In Jesus' name, God bless.
You've just been listening to the highlights from the VFN TV and the daily radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNKB.com. And don't forget about our VFN KB app. No matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share it with your friends. Connect and sign up for the next webinar or attend our next summit at VFNKB.com. VFN TV and the daily radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light.